in the light of our exercise, we stopped a minute in a study of Jeremiah, kind of the holidays for a couple of reasons, and the New Year's. And in the process, we wanted to remind ourselves that God has a wonderful way for us to move forward into history, into the calendar, et cetera, the clock, and to go forward. And God gives wonderful little recipes, formulas to just exercise, and they all add together and work out in the most wonderful way. And God uses dear people like Abraham and Job, and here is David. And we share together in David. David's older, and therefore he gives us a overview of his journey. And in chapter 23, remember, Psalm 23, I should say, and we looked at directly in the light of our Lord being our shepherd and that we are sheep. And in the process, we shared together in verse 4, yea, even though I walk, I am walking, literally, moving forward. And I'm going forward in the valley of the shadow of death. And there's no way I'm going to find any other thing, atmosphere, in my journey in time. It's the shadow of death, darkness. I'm never going to be in light until the Lord comes. So my whole journey and all the days of my life is going to be in darkness, in the world of darkness, in the world of death, and in the world of evil. I'm never going to be out of it all the way to the end. And we shared that together. And therefore, yea, though I walk through the valley, I am walking. I'm moving through, like walk by faith, not by sight, etc. And yea, I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. And why won't you fear evil? Because thou art with me. And the word with, little preposition, think of the word together with, together with, coming together with, together with, going forward together. I am, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then we share together that the reason you're going to have as you're going forward in this particular atmosphere. As you're going forward, you are reminded that God is there, and his rod, as it were, the shepherd's rod, and the word rod, authority, management, ownership, rule, protection, iron, the rod of iron, you know, in the millennium, etc. The rod, God's rod, his authority, and the rod, God's rod, and God's staff, the staff to lean upon, rest upon, to find support, to rely upon. And therefore, we have God's authority to go, and his protection, and his authority to do and outwork his will. And secondly, we have his staff that we are to be. He's going to support us and sustain us in the midst of it all. So we're in a place where we certainly need to be protected in order to outwork his will. We're certainly in a place that we need to be supported. If we aren't supported, we have no way to stand, no way to withstand, no way to understand. We have no way to do it. So God, you need to have thy rod and thy staff, authority and support. And having this authority and support, what are those two things going to do? They're going to go and comfort. They're going to cause me to have consolation, encouragement. And at end, it's intensive, the verb. And as we shared last time, it has to do with breathing. We're struggling, trying to get our breath as we're going down the corridor of time. And in the midst of everything, overcoming odds and obstacles. And as we're going, and we need to overcome. And thy rod and thy staff, God, it gives me relief. It gives me, underline, to breathe again. To breathe again. To stop and rest. To rest. That's what it does. It gives me a space to relieve, to relax, to recover, so that I don't get bogged down and lost in the thick and thin of it. Now, so having said that, so that I do not fear, it's a change of mind, actually, to breathe. You go from one condition to another. In the, I'm not going to fear. On the other hand, I'm going to be comforted and encouraged as I go. So I'm going to keep going down the corridor of time as I go down and as I need to go down. And as we shared together in Psalm 71, you don't have to turn there, Psalm 71, the believer, God is going to strengthen, God is going to comfort. That's what he's going to do. So as we go down the corridor, God is going to keep us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and adding a little bit to just strengthen that, it has the same verb, different verb, but support. Same, like staff supports us. Over to Isaiah 26. Isaiah in chapter 26. And you would note, in chapter 26, sliding down to verse 3, thou wilt keep him, keep to guard, secure, to protect the rod and the staff. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And the word peace, shalom, twice. Peace, peace. Perfect peace. Perfect, complete. All the pieces are together. There's nothing to fear, nothing to come apart. They're all in order. Peace. As we go down the corridor of time. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Who? Whose mind, his thought process, is stayed. Is stayed. And the word stayed has to do to support, same as in staff, to lean upon, to press upon, to lay hold of firmly to something. What are we going to do? The mind is resting down, supporting, like the church, the pews support us. They're supporting us, and we aren't fighting it. We're just letting the pew be the pew. We're letting the pew do what it's supposed to do. Support us. We're looking to God. David's looking to God. We're to be looking to God, to our rest, to reliance, support. So we don't have to worry or fret. We don't have to fear. We're resting. We're breathing comfortably as we go in darkness and death and evil. We're going same world. Every day, it's the same. Now, having said that, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And the reason, because he he's trusting the right, we're trusting the right person for the right reasons, and it's going to come out right. So the condition of reliance, and the verb is, you're experiencing, because the believing heart is experiencing rest. It's experiencing a reliance. It's finding the reality of the word, the reality of the verb. It's finding wonderful, wonderful rest. And so verse 3, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth, because he's trusting in thee forever. And you're going to find the same verb when you slide down to the next verse. Trust, it's a command, be doing it. Trust, rely upon, be stayed upon. Trust, relying upon forever. Trust on the Lord forever. For in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. So it's a simple reminder in God's word to what? Be looking to God, and he's going to go and support. Is God a healthy, happy, holy, consistent support? Is God worried? Is God got a problem with anything, anyone, anywhere, anyhow? Does God have a problem with anybody, with anything? No. No, no matter how it looks, no matter how it comes out, God had no problem in outworking, broad in the staff, what he's after. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if I can, so God walking in the darkness and going forward. Now, in the process, and thy rod and thy staff as being a comfort. Now, Psalm 23, just it's awful hard not to add it, not to put the pieces together. Psalm 23, picking up, please. As you know the psalm. All we're doing is making the psalm say hello again, making the psalm work. In other words, what are we doing when we're reading, studying? We're letting God talk to us. We're letting God talk to me. Talk to me, God. That's what we're doing. God gave me his word. I'm in his presence. He's in my heart. God, talk to me. Now, if I can, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me. You're preparing a table before me. And the word prepare, just to see that, is to set an order, to arrange, to place things in a row comfortably, orderly. It's used of a military word. The army is all in order as it attacks. Everything is in order. The table is to be prepared, set in order. Order, wonderful order. Set in a row, everything's in a row, as you'll see, to place it in order. And therefore, ready to serve. Ready, it's a prepared what? A prepared table. For God has made a table fully prepared. Where? Before. The word before, face. In the Bible, face, when you see face or presence, that word, little word, is always a plural. All through the Bible. Always a plural in the Old Testament, especially. Now, so therefore, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. That's what you're doing. You're going to do that. You're setting something in order. Darkness, death, evil, enemy, it's all there. Nothing's going away. What are you doing, God? A, I'm going to be the authority and support as we get down. And I'm going to go in order to help you. And so you have reason, you're taking a rebreath and keeping your breathing in a healthy way, looking to God, because I'm going to prepare a table before you. I'm going to set in order a table before you. Now, remember Israel. What did Israel do with that truth? David is practicing it. Israel, what did you do when thou preparest a table? Over, just to remind you for a second, over to Psalm 78. And in Psalm 78, you remember a wonderful psalm, a recording, a history lesson, Psalm 108, etc. And sliding down now, if I can, to verse 17. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Lord Most High in the wilderness. In the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness. Verse 18. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. In other words, manna wasn't enough. They were always looking for the diet of Egypt that they had in Egypt. Verse 19. Yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish? Word furnish, prepare. Can God prepare a table? Possibly. Is it possible for God to put a table in front of us in this wilderness place? Is God able to do that? That's their question. So, and of course, they're insulting God. God, you can't do it. See, you can't. All you can do is give us manna. You can't give us the fish, the garlics, and onions, and watermelons, etc., of Egypt. You don't give us that. You don't give us that. See, you can't do it, God. That's what they did. Now, back over, if I can, in Psalm 23 again, and the God is always. Always is proceeding to prepare a place. And therefore, in order for God to do that, he's going to go and make it so that that place is prepared. So Israel didn't believe God, and they lost out. In the enjoyment of 40 years in the wilderness, they could have enjoyed that and repented, and God would have blessed them. But we have no record of that. Now, having said that, on the other part, over if you would please, over there, Psalm 40. In Psalm 40. And you will note. Now, the other side of the coin in Psalm 40. And here's David again to help us. May I pick up, please, in verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to us upward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Do you see the word reckoned? That's your word prepare. To reckon, to put it together. God, we can't furnish to prepare. We couldn't put it in order. There's no way for us in the overwhelming, your thoughts and ways are higher than the heavens. The thoughts of us are more than the sand of the sea. How can we possibly put that together? If it help you anymore, just think of sitting in a pile on a beach or something. And here's sand. You're sitting in sand. Now you're going to go, and I'm going to go and tell you, put the sand in order. Here's all of these little grains, thousands and thousands of them. Now put the sand in order. You can't do it. It's just impossible. Right. Verse 40 again, verse 5. Thy thoughts, which are to us wood, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Psalm 139, more than the sand of the sea. So God, what are you going to do? Well, the thoughts that God has are more than we can number. So God, whatever you're going to do on preparing something. You're preparing a table before us. And what's on that table? God, you have you have no limit, no littleness. Everything is big. Everything is easy. You can put on that table whatever you want in front of us. God, your thoughts and ways are higher than the heavens. So therefore, God, I'm going down the corridor. I'm breathing comfortably. Comfortably, I'm encouraged. As I go forward, God, you're going to go and meet the need. That's what you're going to do. And you know that in from Matthew 6 and that. My God shall supply all your need. That's Philippians 4:19. But Matthew 6 and that. And your Father knoweth the need before you ever ask him. He knoweth the need. So God, here we are going down the corridor. And in the process, you're going to go and the table is prepared before us. And we're going to go and enjoy that particular, it's going to be spread out as a mat. That's part of the, think of having a picnic on a mat, putting out all the foods on the mat, on the table, and you're going to do that. Now, having is to see that, over to Exodus in chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And picking up, if I may, remember this is all the different items that are in the tabernacle. And one of those items is the ark, of course. And what else is there? In chapter 25, verse 23, thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a breadth the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about it, with et cetera, et cetera. Going to do all of that. And sliding down to verse 30, and thou shalt set upon the table the showbread before me, before God, always. God, always before God, the table of showbread is there. So here's the tabernacle. Here we are in the wilderness, and the tabernacle's there. All the people, all the 2.5 million plus, all those people, all they can do is see the tent. They can see the cloud by day. They can see the fire by night. No question. And they're all camped around that, so you can't miss it. But they can't see inside the tent. Only the priests, Levites, would get in there. Here's the priest, and what's in that show table in the tabernacle is the lampstand. And then I'm over on this side of me, and the right is the table of showbread. In front of me is the altar of incense. Now here's the table of showbread. And on the showbread is there. And the word showbread. Do you see the word show? We got the word bread. Now you got the word show. The word show is, I'm going to give you a word, don't get lost in it. Think of the word faces / in the presence of, that's the one little preposition. Okay, a word. Table of showbread. It's the table of faces. Table of faces. The bread is the table of faces. It's a showbread. God is what? Showing. And the little word right next to it, in verse 30, the little word before, the little word before is the same word. Table of faces, in the presence of What is happening in the tabernacle? God is always in the presence of our Lord, always. Our Lord is never out of his presence. God is never missing his presence. He's there. The faces. Remember, you have the same word. Moses talked to God face to face. Face to face. Showbread. Showbread. What's the bread there for? The 12 loaves represent Israel. So when you look at, the priest would look, and there's 12 breads, one for each tribe, one for each tribe, one for each. God is conscious of each tribe. Who is conscious? The Lord Jesus Christ. God is in the presence of God in the bread of faces. So when I look, I see Christ, and I see the tribes of Israel, all 12 tribes. They're always there. They're in a row, prepared in a row, a neat row, lined up, six and six. Not like that, it would be long. It'd be six and six, or six on top of each other. And here we are looking. And there, if I'm looking as a priest in the tabernacle, here's each tribe. And God is looking and seeing, facing each tribe in the presence of God. God is looking at Israel, all 12 tribes. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There is the table, table of showbread, to see that, to see it again. Exodus 40. And in Exodus 40, picking up, please, in verse 4. Exodus 40 and in verse 4. And thou shalt bring in the table and set in order, set it in order, prepare the things, put the bread on it in order. Thou preparest the table before me. Thou shalt bring in the table and set it in order, the things that are to be set in order upon it. That's the bread, or the 12 loaves of bread. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick and the light the lamps thereof, going to dedicate the tabernacle. Sliding over, if I can, to verse 23. And if I can. And he set the bread in order, upon it, the table, before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He did all of that as he should in the front. And so here's God looking, and God is looking and seeing. He's looking when he's there. God is always in Christ. God always in the tabernacle. God always in Christ is looking at the light. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the basis of satisfying God's holiness, the altar of incense. And he is involved with all of those that believe. The 12 tribes of Israel, God in there, God, the priest, are reminded. They're reminded. God is very conscious of the people way living how many miles away, maybe, before they can ever get to the tabernacle. He's conscious of them. He's conscious of all of them. All we see is a cloud by day and a fire by night, but God sees them and is conscious of them in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, and remember, the bread was there for every Sabbath. They had to change the bread, and only the priest could eat the bread. So they always could have it. And without doing that, what do you know? Well, is that the priest, they had to be special. They had to be special. But what do you know? You know from 2 Peter 1, you are a royal priesthood. Romans chapter 1, Revelation 1 and 5. You are priest before God. Hang on. Now, having said that, so here's the tabernacle and the Lord Jesus. Now go to that so you see it. So you see the relationship. Our Lord. How did they see our Lord? They saw him as a man. That's what they did. They looked at him just like you could look at the tabernacle and all you'd see were the coats of skin. And our Lord Jesus is human skin. That's all you'd see. There's nothing spectacular about it. Just ordinary. That's all it is. It's just plain old ordinary. But God is in Christ. God in Christ. God in the tabernacle. God with the bread, the showbread. God in Christ. Sees. What does he see in Christ? He sees you. Christ is going to go to the cross and die for your sin. And he's going to see when God looks at Christ. God in Christ sent him to die. God the Father sees all human beings. He sees believers saved. Wow. Table of showbread, only it isn't a table, it's a person. Christ himself is the person. Now God, the cloud by day and the fire by night, that's how you knew the ark, but the tabernacle, but you couldn't see anything else. No. But our Lord, for 3 1/3 years, showed his works and his words, and you could hear him and see the miracles. But you couldn't see inside of him. No more than they could see inside the tabernacle. They had to be able to get in there and understand what are they looking at when we see Jesus, what on earth are we looking at? Who are we looking at? We aren't in a tabernacle anymore. David said, thou preparest. David, did you talk about the tabernacle? No, you were involved in it. The temple, but you didn't. What was the tabernacle? The tabernacle pointed to God. What are you doing, David? I'm looking to God, and God prepares a table in front of me. I can't, every step I take, God's in front of me, in his presence, face to face, and he's taking care in his authority and rod and staff. He's taking care to make sure everything is in order and supports me, encourages me, and comforts me as I get down the corridor. Now, God, you're going to put table. I got the table. Get that part. Now, having said that, over to John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, you will note, if I can pick up, please, in thought. You will note, please, in the process, John 6, and in verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But, verse 36. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me. You have seen me, but believe not. All you did is see the physical body. All you did is see the coats of skin over the tent. Did you ever see the table to show bread? No. No. Did you ever understand that God was in Christ? No. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Didn't do that. Now, so therefore, he's the bread of life. John 6 and verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And that's too hard to think about. How can you be the bread? You're just like us. You look just like us. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse 48. I am that bread of life. You see the bread of life? I am that bread. I am that I am. I am that bread. I am that life. Verse 48. Verse 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man should eat thereof and not die. How can that be? Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, believe in me, receive me as your Savior, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I'm going to do all of these wonderful things now. And so how is you doing it? And putting that all together, well, you read a little more. Go down to verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He died on the cross. What did God do for us? He took me, took you to the cross. He took us in all of our being, and he died and shed blood. His blood instead of my blood. He was the substitute. That's my blood, as it were. He's paying the price for my sin. The wages of sin is death. He's paying the price for my death and my death. So when I receive him as my Savior, I receive Jesus Christ, who took me in all of my condition and saved me in a most wonderful way. He made me a new creature in Christ. God did that. God did that for me. Now, sliding along, verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father, and so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, having said that, now you would think that they aren't going to follow that, because you really got to understand, Christ, you need a Savior. God is your perfect substitute and perfect sacrifice. He's going to go to the cross and take you there. Now, verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They had a problem. How can I eat and drink? I don't understand. What kind of relationship do we have? Do I eat it like at my supper and assimilate it into my stomach? Is that what I'm doing? No. He took you and your whole humanity, physical humanity, and took you to the cross, and he died in your place. He took you in his own body on the tree and died. That's what he did. Better than assimilating your food. He took you and made you, he took your sin and gave you his wonderful life. It isn't your life. It's his life that he gave you. It's his life that you have, not yours. He gives you eternal life, which is God's life, the uncreated life of God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so, and you know then you need to receive him. And in John 6:31, you get the idea from the beginning of all this. 6:31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. We got that part. We just couldn't connect it together. That's why they said in Psalm 78, Can God prepare a table before us? God, you can't make Egypt. You can't do anything, God. You can't do anything. Wrong. Wrong as can be. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My enemies are looking. They're watching my journey. The evil, the dark, the death sees me. It can't touch me because I belong to God. I'm a little light in the darkness. So as I go down the corridor, God is going to go and keep me. How am I going to go? I'm walking. Walking, I'm fearing no evil, thou art with me. And there in front of me is God and the table. And God puts on the table everything needed to encourage my heart, to strengthen my body, to make me make it. God puts that on the table. And God does that because he's able to go and provide all my needs. God puts on the table. We'll do it next time, maybe, on the table. In closing, Psalm 81. Now, you know Psalm 81. I just want you to look at it and what we just did. In Psalm 81, picking up, please, if I may. And you will note, Psalm 81, I'm going to go directly to verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open, open, that's a causative. You, open your mouth. The little bird, open your mouth. The little birds, don't they be told to open their mouth. They're hungry, they open their mouth. Causative. Verse 10, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, 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 like the dentist said, wide, 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 and I will fill it. And the word fill is intensive. It isn't just I'll drop something in. It's to roll up your sleeves. I'm going to make sure you're filled, filled, whatever you need. Each person has a different need in each hour. And what reaches that person most, God does it. So what you eat there, you eat something else at the same time. God is encouraging in the light of our circumstances as we walk in the valley of the shadow of death. He's encouraging. And what is the result going to be in the table that's prepared before us? Verse 16. Let me just do a little more, even though it, verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So they didn't, people don't do it. It's so easy. No, you don't. Verse 16. He would have fed thee, caused thee to cause it. God would make it happen to feed. He would have fed thee, all them, with the finest of wheat, the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock. I would go and feed them. I would have satisfied. I would have caused them to be wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully satisfied. I would have caused them to be satisfied. And you learn to trust God, and you didn't see anything happen. You didn't see anything. You don't see anything. But you have to be content in resting in God's working and how God does. And in the light of the conditions we have no idea of, what God has to overcome, the heart, it's being able to be 1,000,000% lined up with God, to have your heart totally in his direction. That takes something. And God knows that. And God helps us inch by inch, Monday through Tuesday and Wednesday. Otherwise, we'd never get there. Because we don't do it. We don't do it with all our heart. We want to do it with all our heart. We want to do it. But we got so much coming against it that we don't even know it. It's part of our nature. And so we have to learn. And God bears, and we wait in God and bear. And God prepares the table. And we're learning to trust. That's all I know is God is in front of me. I'm in his presence. He stands before me. He's in my presence. As I go down, and there's the table. And God, you're the provider. You're the protector. You're the provider. So God, I learned to trust you. That's what you do, isn't it? That's what you do. That's what you have to do. I think of my eyes of all these years. We aren't talking about months. We're talking about a long time. And here I'm taking this super duper every 2 hours precisely. All day long, I have to do it. Precise. And I say, God, shouldn't I get some improvement, you know? And I call the pharmacy, it's a special. You don't even want to know. This thing is the sixth most expensive drug in the world that I'm taking. The sixth most expensive drug in the world that I'm taking. The doctor looked it up. He said, do you know that's the sixth most expensive drug in all the world? So I can't mess around. So I wish it, you don't need all that stuff. I got an alarm clock. I got little notes, clock on my desk, another clock over here. I got signs all around, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 2. I got signs all around, and then I forget. So I say, it's a quarter of it, 50 minutes, I got to go do it. And I'm right in the middle, and I forget about everything. All I know is he prepares the table before me, and it's past 10. You see, you can't go more than 15 minutes. You're too late. You can't take it. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, I wish it would go away. But you know it isn't going away yet. It really would help me in a lot of ways. But it isn't going away. God, I'm not coming anymore to you. No. I'll take the dumb medicine until it's finished, 8 weeks of it. And then what? Now you've used the most expensive. I guess I better try the most expensive one. You see? Do you understand? Whatever you got whatever you have to go through. And you're working with it. Your journey, the table is prepared before you. God has to get us there, inch by inch. It isn't some easy, super thing. It's something you learn to rest in God, and you do what's supposed to do as best you can, and you trust God however he wants it. You understand?